Welcome to a snowy Thursday edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Great to have you along with us. Many thanks to our Sports Look sponsors, Petro Convenience Store, Exchange Bank, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Gerber Electric, and of course, Hamada Wealth Management. Well, Gus, here we are, middle of February, and yes, the schedule's packed because we're going now into the home stretch. We're going to be talking about that on Sports Look today. Tomorrow, we're going to be up at the Atchison High Gym. We got to see them a couple of days ago. We're going to see them again as they're going to be hosting a team pretty unfamiliar to us, I suspect, Labette County. We got that one Friday night, tomorrow night. Saturday, we're going to go to Canton, Missouri. The Benedictine Ravens will conclude the regular season. Ladies game, 2 o'clock. Guys game at 4. Figured it wouldn't be that. Figured it'd be 12 and 2, but it's not. 2 for the ladies, 4 for the guys. BC at Culver. Next Tuesday, ACCHS, JCN. Next Thursday, BC Men at William Penn. Next Friday, well, we'll talk about that on next Sports Look, but we've got games coming up and Fast and Furious. Well, all that said, a lot of games have been going on around the Care listing area, and we had basketball last night. It was Valley Falls on a rare Wednesday night edition, as Valley Falls was at home against MHMA, and tell you what, a couple of exciting games, a lot of fans turning out for a game that they even pushed the time up a little bit on.
Yeah, change the time a little bit, get you in, get you out before, you know, the weather had a chance to possibly go bad. And for Morehill Mount Academy, let's just start on the ladies' side, it was a big win for them, right? They've struggled a little bit since the middle of January, trying to get, you know, on the right foot, and so to get a win against a conference opponent this close to sub-state, they got a shot. We'll talk about it here in a minute to improve their sub-state position. But, you know, all around a nice win for Coach Noel and his team.
Yeah, no question about it. Then, of course, you had guys' game coming up in the second one there. And Morehill Mount Academy, boy, it was pretty close, you know, for the first half. Then Coach Rapplinger's guys put a little distance between themselves and Valley Falls and came away with a road win.
Yeah, and for the guys, they're playing really well, right? You know, Mark Harris had a really good game, knocking down a handful of shots. I mean, they're putting together a solid season. We're going to talk about here in just a second, putting themselves in a really good place when it comes to, you know, sub-state seedings and their matchups.
And by the way, if you're just absolutely, and unless they change this, if you're just absolutely desiring some basketball tonight, on the schedule yet is Oskaloosa at Pleasant Ridge, but we'll see if the weather does not impact that. But that is on the original schedule for Thursday night tonight.
Yeah, and looking at the games that are going to come up possibly tomorrow.
Maybe.
Yeah, you're going to have McLeod at Jackson Heights. Morehill Mount Academy going to make the trip up to Horton. And you're going to have Oskaloosa at ACCHS. Nemaha Central at Jeff West. I throw that in there because it's kind of important for some of these sub-states that we're looking at. And then we talked about it a moment ago. Labette County, what, Altamont is going to be at Atchison. Talk about Labette County, that's a long ways away, right? They are south of Parsons, so you're probably talking 3.5 hours,
yeah,
give or take, you know, on a good day.
And don't forget also, you got what, Valley Falls at JCN, you know, and a couple of teams, you know, kind of in the neighborhood that are on the schedule for tomorrow night also. But all these teams, you know, the fans who are, you know, kind of farsighted. A lot of fans are like me. You just show up and enjoy the game of the night. But certainly the coaches and a lot of the fans, because they're sneaking ahead. They're looking, you know, if you're reading that novel, you go to that back page to see who done it. Well, they're sneaking a peek ahead and looking to see where the postseason is going to land their team. And in the state of Kansas, if you've got a basketball team, you are in the postseason.
Yep.
Okay, so you got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah, whether you were in what they call that first-round game or a possible play-in game, some of those have that. So, real quick, let's start big, work our way down in 4A on the ladies' side for Atchison. They're kind of middle of the pack, right? The Atchison ladies right now, 9-8, and so you start looking ahead, and you really can't. Now, the game against Labette County will feature Atchison at 9-8. Labette County is the next team closest to Atchison at 7-10. For Atchison, I mean, the ladies can move up a little bit, but they're going to find themselves somewhere middle of the pack, and that's not a terrible place to be right now.
And that's going to, right now, though, what you're battling for is maybe you get a home game because you're in the number 10, no?
No, because remember, they only play those like full four pods.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And,
that's right.
And everything's at like the high seed kind of
thing. I got you.
So
okay.
It's kind of a weird thing, but it's different. It's fun. I don't know if I like it yet. I don't know if I've adjusted to it yet. But if you flip to the boys' side on the East, Atchison, right? They're out on top right now at 15-2. Baldwin is 14-3. You know, for Atchison, it's a big deal to play that game tomorrow, right? I mean, because you're starting to look forward, if you're starting to gaze at a possible state tournament, you want to accumulate wins. I mean, how many times have you seen coaches just running around this time of the year going, man, I hope everything works. We get our wins in, get our games going. And so for Atchison, a slight edge on Baldwin right now. They are 15-2. They've got games left against LeBec County. And then the two games next week will be Kansas City, Washington, who they beat already 74-57. And then they're going to finish the regular season on the 24th, so next Friday, against Schlegel. Beat Schlegel by 13 already this year, 48-35. So you start looking up and down, you've got a couple teams in there that are beatable. But again, take care of business and you're where you want to be.
Okay, let me ask you something. We're going to just divert very brief, and we're going to be talking about the same with these sub-states. But Atchison, I was with them. We had them on Care Radio a couple of nights ago. They went down to the number one team in Class 5A. Okay, we were at Highland Park in Topeka. Both Atchison High boys and girls came up short against two really good teams. I know you don't want to lose games, but maybe late in the season is I don't want to use the word humbling game, but a reality check game to make sure that you got that drive to go in late in the season knowing that, hey, I can lose and I don't want to do this. I don't like the way this feels. Can't that be a real benefit, particularly if a coach spins it on them like that?
Yeah, definitely, right? Like, you can turn around and you can say, hey, guys, remember how that
remember
feels?
That?
And being that close to the end of the season, it's probably a good little reality check, if you will, for you to go, okay, I don't want to do that again. Like, let's bear down. And you also understand that, okay, they expose X, Y, and Z. Okay? Let's clean those things up. Let's make sure we don't make those same mistakes. And
a really good opponent is going to show you where those thin spots in the ice are, right?
Yeah, and so how crazy is this going to be? Let's just go, you know, crystal ball this thing, okay? Let's say Atchison wins their next three games.
Uh-huh.
Finishes the season 18-2.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Let's say they finish the season number one in Class 4A. Okay? And you don't win your league?
Uh-huh. No.
Like,
they're not going to win their league.
Is that just ridiculous?
They're not going to win their league.
Right. Like, wow. I think that's the one thing that you jump up and you say, man, didn't see that one coming. You know, I mean, because the other team is the number one team in 5A, a division ahead of you. So,
but maybe that puts that, we're kind of talking about it, working around it, maybe that puts that chip on your shoulder.
Yep. So, it's crazy, but it's a lot of fun. How about we just jump right over now to Class 3A, because
girls' side first, boys.
Yeah,
girls.
Let's go girls, because 3A all of a sudden means something to us again.
Yes. There's no question about it. And how far down do we have to go to the Marysville and Perry LeConte substates, right?
Yep.
Okay. Marysville substate, yikes. Okay? That thing's loaded up. There are such good teams. Nemaha Central is 17-1. ACCHS, 16-1. That's right. Remember, both Atchison County and Marhill Mount Academy are now 3A schools after years of 2A.
Nemaha Central, how about that? A 94.4 winning percentage, ACCHS a 94.1 winning percentage.
Yeah, that's not bad, okay? Minneapolis is a 14-5 team. Double-digit wins for Sabetha, 11-7, Hiawatha, 11-7, Riley County, 10-7. And all of these teams, with the exception of ACCHS and Minneapolis, are playing that Big 7 league competition. I mean, they're playing some pretty good schools. Don't know the first thing about who Minneapolis is playing. Of course, we've seen the Tigers here many, many times already on K-Radio this season.
Yeah, for Minneapolis, they're playing teams like Republic County, Salina Sacred Heart, St. John Hudson, Ellenwood, Hillsboro.
And more Central Kansas kind of a group.
Yeah, Solomon.
North Central.
Southeast of Saline. So, just to give you kind of that glimpse into their schedule.
Yeah, and so as it would stand today, when we got 2, 4, 6, 8, so there's it's a perfect number of teams, and you don't even have that play-in game.
Yeah, so you're going to have your split somewhere between that Sabetha, Hiawatha. It all depends.
And they're battling for the home game.
Yeah, exactly. So if the season were in today, ACCHS would be looking at a home game with Marysville in round one.
Yeah, not possible. It could be Concordia, but it's going to be one of those two.
Right, you know, so I will tell you, it's going to be one of those two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
no
question
about
it.
You're not going to fall to 3. No. You know, you're either going to be 1 or you're going to be 2.
And yeah, and no one else is
and
going
to
7-8.
And those two teams are going to be 7 or 8.
Yeah. So there you have it. The ACCHS girls guaranteed a home game. And then off to the Marysville sub-state. And for Marysville, kind of a tough break for them because they're going to be hosting a sub-state in which they're probably not playing.
Yeah, they're not going to be there.
In Class 3A, the Perry-Lecompton sub-state. You've got Silver Lake with a clear-cut first spot at 16-1. Then Heritage Christian and Rossville are both 13-win teams. Morehill Mount Academy and Bishop Ward are both 10-win teams. You got Perry-Lecompton at 7-11, Jeff West at 5-13, and Royal Valley at 3-15. Maybe the biggest hurdle for me here is, again, the changes of classifications. I'm so accustomed to seeing Jeff West, Royal Valley, Perry-Lecompton, you know, in higher classifications. It just seems odd to me, I guess. I don't know. And then, of course, now with Morehill Mount Academy moving to 3A, getting in this new group.
Yeah, and so it's kind of, kind of an interesting little setup, right? So, but again, we talk about how it's kind of fun to see, you know, some of these teams we're not used to, but
for the
you
Ravens,
group these together,
yeah.
I'm not used to seeing any of these teams play each other, really.
Lady Ravens are in a scrap for a home game. I mean, they are deadlocked with Bishop Ward. One of the two of them is going to be at home. One is going to be on the road, but they're going to play each other.
Yeah, they're going to play each other.
As simple as that.
And so right now, Morehill Mount Academy will get the 4 nod because they are, or they've won the head-to-head.
Correct.
So for Morehill Mount Academy, they've got 2 games left, Horton and McLeod, one on the road, one at home. For Bishop Ward, you start sitting there and you say, who have they got left? Well, Ward lost the other night to Heritage Christian by 12. They will finish the season with Care Paravel, who they beat earlier this season 55-28. They're also going to finish with Kansas City Christian on Tuesday night. And against Kansas City Christian, let's see. There we go. Beat them a couple weeks ago, 35-30. So, it's one of those things where these two teams could win out and it comes back to the McLeod tournament, right? And that is going to possibly be your tiebreaker. Yeah, because Ward is just not one of those teams we see a whole lot anymore, you know.
You used to see them all the time when they were in Huron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just weird to see Perry-Lecompton, Jeff West, and Royal Valley in the same, you know, breath with like a Heritage Christian, you know?
So anyway, for the Lady Ravens, it is a battle down to the wire to get that that home game for the Lady Tigers. They're in a pretty good spot right now out in out the Marysville tournament.
Start looking at the 3A boys substate at Maryville. Yeah, so you got a 1.
You got a 1.
Yeah, Sabetha's 18-0.
You probably got a 2, a 3, and a 4.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I think the first four, well, the 3 and 4
the deal
could mix up, but probably not.
I was going to say, I can tell you that we at least know the 4 home teams.
Oh, for sure that.
Right? Like, I think there's where I will, you know, solidify my answer. Because you got Sabetha at 1. Right now, if the season were to end, let's just start looking at it. Sabetha would get Minneapolis. Hiawatha would go to Maryville. Riley County would be at ACCHS. And Nemaha Central would take on Concordia.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a little more cut and dry than some of them.
And again, if the upper seeds win, and there's kind of a big division between the top 4 and the second 4 in this sub-state, you know, Sabetha, Maryville, Atchison County, Concordia, that would be kind of a fun sub-state. You do not have any two schools out of the same conference.
Okay, so I like looking around the state of Kansas to see what are kind of fun sub-states. Go up one. Look at the Lions sub-state. somebody going to get left home that deserves to go, right? Yeah. It's like that ACCHS girls substate where you've got two really good teams. Well, you got Heston and Haven both at 17-5 right now.
17-1, yeah.
Or excuse me, yeah. Sorry, 17-1. Yeah. Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah. So they're winning 95% of the games. One of them does not go to the state tournament. And you're going out of a state tournament. And see, what's huge about it, I think this is being number one, you're going to get a poor team in the first game at the substate site or the second game in the substate. And, you know, maybe that comes into play here, because after you get through the top three teams, the bottom five, the records diminish considerably.
You know, you drop down to like the Russell substate. All of those teams are 500 or better, right? And then let's lead right into it. That Perry LeCompton substate, you got some really good teams at the top of this.
No question about it. And we talked about the Bishop Ward girls and how they impact, you know, at Morehill Mount Academy on the ladies' side. Well, the Bishop Ward guys are in front by a game at 15-3, but right behind them, Morehill Mount Academy and Heritage Christian, both, and Perry LeCompton, three, right behind them at 14-4. And then you got Royal Valley with 10 wins, Jeff West with 6, Rossville with 6, and Silver Lake, oddly enough, with only 5 wins, 5-12.
Isn't that crazy, though? You've got 5 teams with double-digit wins in that substate, right? I mean, so the top, you look at Royal Valley, the 5th seed. I mean, at 10-8, you're going on the road.
Yes.
So.
Yes. You're not good enough for a home game at 10-8. Because, again, 3 teams with 14 or 15 wins. Or 4 teams with 14 or 15 wins in that substate.
So
pretty good.
You start crystal balling this thing, you would think Morehill Mount Academy is going to get a round 1 game at home with Rossville.
Or Jeff West. They're basically tied. I mean, just depending how that last game goes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But the good news is for the MHMA ball club, yeah, going to get a nice little home game up there for the guys' side of Coach Rapplinger.
So, jumping down to Class 2A on the girls' side.
Yeah, I got it.
Give me a second. Let's fly down. Is it? There it is. The Horton substate. Okay. You've got some good teams here, too, right? You've got 5 teams that find themselves with double-digit wins. So, right now, Riverside out on top at 15-3. Jackson Heights is 2 at 12-4. But same amount of wins, JCN, they are 12-6. Pleasant Ridge is 11-6. Valley Heights is 11-8. Valley Falls to 7-10 after their loss last night. Horton at 3-14 in Republic County. They're ready to pack them away.
Yeah, and here's where, as a team, you've got to finish strong. Okay, let's consider Riverside as the champion.
Yeah.
Right now, okay, out of the regular season in the Horton substate. But right behind him, you got 4 teams within 1 game. So you've got to finish strong. You can't afford to drop a game here in the last week, because Jackson Heights with 12 wins, JCN 12 wins, Pleasant Ridge with 11 wins, and Valley Heights with 11 wins. Can't afford to have a hiccup late in this game. And again, you're going to have a double-digit team on the road.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So pretty good basketball in that Horton substate.
Drop over to, why don't you take the guys' side of that?
Okay, well, we'll flip my book over here and page it over to the Horton substate. How about JCN's guys, huh? They have come in, brand new head coach down there, and Corey's done a nice job with them. They're 11-6, and they are just ahead of Horton, who is at 10-7 in that Horton substate. Valley Falls, the guys we saw last night, now at 8-8. Valley Heights, 8-11. Pleasant Ridge, 5-12, Riverside, 5-13, Jackson Heights, 3-12, and Republic County at 3-15. So you got a couple of teams, you know, right at the top, JCN and Horton, and they've seen each other each a couple of times, and they've had some great games. But then it gets, it gets pretty competitive from here on out. That'll be a decent substate up there. And for Horton, you never know, man, playing that game at home could be the leg up.
I always laugh because when you think of Horton, you think of substates. I don't know why, probably because we never really played Horton much, but you always knew that they hosted a substate.
Yeah, because it's a fabulous gym for it. Big gym, lots of room.
Great gym,
yeah.
And you know what? They've done really well at it over the years. So, again, it makes it kind of easy to say, okay, yeah, Horton, you take it, and they do such a nice job up there at Horton.
So what do you think? Championship game, guaranteed win for the Chargers?
You would think possibly, right?
That's what I'm seeing coming.
I would say the Dragons, and there's some other teams that would like to throw their hat in the ring as well.
Right.
But
if you got Horton and JC in at the title, you're in pretty good shape for the Charger win.
Real quick, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that this weekend, regional wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah, it's already on us, right? So, you know, by this time next week, we'll be talking about guys going to state, ladies going to state, and Class 4A, that'll be at Baldwin. So Atchison will be at Baldwin. The other teams there, Baldwin, Eudora, Holton, Royal Valley, Ward, Jeff West, Perry. So a lot of teams that, you know, we're familiar with. Class 3 through 1, that is going to be held at Sabetha this year. So you've got teams like Sabetha, Nemaha Central, Oskaloosa, McClouth, Onega, ACCHS. So good luck to all the wrestlers this weekend. And
pretty good.
It's always kind of fun to just hear the results that come back and see how many wrestlers from each school end up going.
Really good wrestling in the area, and I guess the Tigers are right at the top of the heap out there.
Yeah, the Tigers have been wrestling really well this year, so good luck to all the wrestlers going up this weekend.
Hey, we're going to take a break. We got so much more to talk about. Sports Look rolling along on a snowy Thursday here on CARE. Welcome back to Sports Look, and women's college basketball, the Benedictine Lady Ravens just battled hard, fighting from behind, which is always a tough thing to do. Last night, coming up just short to Missouri Valley, and for BC, the ladies and the guys, the season, regular season, will conclude on Saturday. For the BC ladies, the season will conclude on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think you look back on the season and you say, wow, you kind of like the years where you don't know exactly when your season's going to end. But for the Lady Ravens, a tough loss last night. They're 9-17, and there are a lot of things to take away from this season. I think coach is going to, you know, go into the off season. You put together a plan, and you try to get better next year. But I think step one into moving into next season is to win at Culver Stockton, get double digit wins, and you say, doesn't matter, you're not playing next week anyway. But I think it's a mental factor of being a double-digit win team. And so I feel like you start setting baby steps, and that's probably the first hurdle for the Lady Ravens.
Okay, let me tell you who it really matters to is Culver Stockton, because they are in a three-way tie with Evangel and Missouri Valley in the postseason standings race. Because Central Methodist, okay, they're going to be the national champions. All right, I've been saying this for how many months now? They are now only, okay, they're struggling at the end of the season at 27-0.
Right.
All right. 21-0 in the conference. But then you got Clark at 24-3. Grandview is 20-7. You got 3 20-win teams already. Mid-America is going to be a 20-win team. They're 18-7. Then you've got Evangel, Culver Stockton, Missouri Valley in the conference, 12-8, 12-9, and 12-9. So this is a big one for Culver Stockton Saturday. And the Lady Ravens I would think, Gus, you don't want to be a bad person, but I think they'd love to upset the apple cart here.
Yeah, and on the ladies' side, we at least know where your eight are, right?
Oh, yeah.
We know the eight that are in.
We do.
You draw the line at Baker because Mount Mercy can't catch Baker. So Baker is in. They're kind of that sacrificial lamb, going to have to go to Fayette and play Central Methodist. Then you talk about that's where the mess kind of happens right there in the middle. And for the Lady Ravens, they would love to force Culver into, you know, just a different road trip, right? Like, I feel like Culver Stockton is going on the road because, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Mid-America is the last home team. So it's a matter of, are you going to Clark? Are you going to Grandview? Or are you going to Mid-America? And I would tell you, out of those teams, Evangel would hate to go to Clark. I would love nothing more than, you know, for that trip to happen, right? Like, that's just me. But Culver Stockton, honestly, they would like to probably go to Clark.
Yeah, they would like to go to Clark because they think they can play him. They think it's much closer. They're the only team that's close to Clark,
right?
Okay, other than maybe Mount Mercy. So that's kind of how that shakes out. And again, for the Lady Ravens, a valiant effort, a valiant comeback attempt last night. Just coming up a little bit short against a pretty good Missouri Valley team. And again, they're a postseason participant in this conference.
Yeah, and you look at this conference on the ladies' side, and it's always good, right? The conference is always good in the Heart of America Athletic Conference ladies' side. But this year, I feel like the Central Methodist and then the field just kind of has beat up on each other this year. Right? Because you talk about Clark, who is 18-3, but I mean, the third place team has 5 losses. You've got the fifth place team with 8 losses. I mean, like, these teams going night in and night out, just beating each other up, and it's been a crazy year in the conference.
Okay, speaking of crazy years, we've got another conference oddity, a game tonight with Evangel going to Mid-America, again, assuming that they're not going to have weather issues getting that thing played. It is a crucial game in the conference standing, so they're going to try, I think, very hard to at some point get that thing worked in. And so you've got Evangel, Mid-America.
Because if you're Evangel, yeah. So basically what you're doing is you're working your way north, okay? So you're going to go to Olathe tonight, and then you're probably going to stay there, and then tomorrow make your way up a little further.
Sure.
Because you're at Mount Mercy on Saturday.
Sure.
So it kind of works out that if you move the Wednesday game to Thursday, you just make this into a 3-day trip.
Right. You go to Des Moines, spend the night.
Yeah, versus going one, back, and then all the way up and back. And so, anyway, yeah, Evangel at Mid-America tonight is a 5:30 game. Then Evangel Saturday. Yeah, see, they're going to start at 11 a.m. to try to get back at a somewhat decent hour.
Yeah.
They're going to play at Mount Mercy up in the Hennessy Sports Center. Missouri Valley is going to be at Clark. That's a noon game. Then the other games that are 2 o'clock games, Benedictine at Culver, Penn at Central Methodist, Graceland at Mid-America, Park at Grandview, Peru, Baker.
So there you have it. And then, of course, next Wednesday, the conference tournament begins. Mount Mercy, Central Methodist, Penn, Evangel going to be the 4 of those participants and hold those 4, probably 4 home games.
Yeah, and so the ladies tournament will start Wednesday.
Correct.
So it'll go Wednesday, Friday, championship game on
Monday.
Monday, yep.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, Friday, Monday.
There you have it. Hey, we'll be back, Sports Look, with more right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look, shifting our focus to men's college basketball and the Benedictine Ravens and Augusta Raven guys battling last night. But again, kind of like the ladies, coming up just a little bit short to a good Missouri Valley team.
Yeah, the Ravens actually took a lead into half, leading 32-30, but in the second half just struggled to get some of their shots to fall. Missouri Valley, they shot well from the free throw line. Hit 17 of their 18 free throws. They were about 30% from behind the arc. And for the Ravens, they only shot 10 free throws on the night. They only hit 4 of them. Three-pointers just were not falling through like they wanted to. And that's kind of been the story of the last couple weeks. Like, just some of those open shots, you heard Coach Moody talk about it on Saturday in the postgame that, you know, just some of those shots just right now aren't falling. Now, if they do, all of a sudden, watch out. But Sam struggled last night. He went 5 of 13. Ahmad, 4 of 12. And so right now, just not being able to get some of those shots to fall through for you has really been trouble for the Ravens.
Yeah, but for Benedictine, again, the good news is you're in the postseason tournament. See, it's not a good news, bad news, because once you're in the postseason, there is no bad news. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have to go to Penn? Yeah. Is that a really hard place to go play? Is it tough? Have you lost there already this year? Yeah. But you know what? You're in the postseason tournament, and you have won there before, and things can happen.
Can I tell you that since Penn has come into the conference, I feel like BC has consistently probably been the best team at the Penn Gym, right? If you were to go back and look at historically the scores and how Penn does in the Penn Gym, here's the deal. Number one, they win a lot of games at home. It's a small little, like, middle school-type gymnasium. It's tight. It's different. But the Ravens D them up well, force Penn to kind of struggle along. And even if Penn wins, they win by 4 or they win by 6. I mean, they're close games. They're not double-digit games, and they're usually low scoring.
Yeah, Coach Moody has said this before, and I know he's right. In the last 7 years in the Heart of America Athletic Conference, it's either been William Penn or Benedictine winning the championship.
There you go.
So this is a pretty good matchup, pretty fun matchup. So the Ravens are going to be up at William Penn. But first, we're going to be over in Canton on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock tip-off for the men's game after the ladies' game at 2.
Some of the games that went on in the Heart of America Athletic Conference yesterday on the guys' side. Graceland knocked off Culver Stockton 74-55. Grandview over Mount Mercy 79-69. How about that one? I didn't see that coming. In overtime in Baldwin City, Kansas, Baker beats William Penn 96-93. See, that's the type of game, though, that Penn wants to play, right? 96-93.
Oh, yeah.
Peru State scores 92 as they beat Clark 92-63. And Central Methodist over Park 71-60. So, jumping down, looking at the conference standings right now for Penn, that was their first loss of the season. For Baker, that catapults them all the way to second place in the conference. And, yeah, I think Baker, for me, is the biggest surprise this season.
Baker's been really, really remarkably good. And they play, I mean, they're 16-5. But, again, there's a big jump from number one to number two. But the fact that they were able to get Penn at their place and beat them, and maybe for Penn, that's the wake-up call. We talked about that a little earlier, you know. Maybe that's a wake-up call for Penn to, like, get on a serious, serious focused run.
Yeah, you start looking at the Heart of America Athletic Conference, and there are some really good teams in this thing. You got William Penn at 24-3. You've got Baker at 21-6. You've got Peru at 21-6. You've got Evangel at 20-6. Drop down a little bit. Graceland is 18-9. I mean, they got a shot to get to 20 wins. Yeah. Mid-America at 18-8. They've got a shot to get to 20.
So how many conference teams make the national tournament? Four?
Five.
Five? Okay, so who sneaks in? Mid-America, Graceland, Central Methodist. Which is the one that's going to come in the gate?
It's not Central Methodist, and I think the problem with Central Methodist is going to come those 10 losses, right?
Okay.
Like, I think it's just it's an eye thing, and you're going to lose 10 games. I think Graceland, they're going to lose 10 games as well, because unless they win the conference tournament, they're going to have that 10th loss, okay? I think it's Mid-America, because let's say they win their next couple games, even if they lose the conference game, they're going to finish with like a 22-9, you know, 23-9. And I think for some reason it's that 10 losses that make it look worse.
So is Adam Hepker the next Rocky? I mean, not only because he took over the program, but because in his first year he takes a team to the national tournament?
No, because I think that, you know, I don't start judging a coach until about year three, right?
Okay.
Like start to see what he
because
brings
he's
in.
Still playing with the other
right,
guys,
he,
players.
Right, he still got Rocks guys, right? Uh-huh. And not that he wasn't recruiting those guys because he was on the staff and things already. I just like to give it a little time to... Let's see what you bring into the program and what your fingerprint really looks like on this program.
So there you have it. Benedictine, we're on the road Saturday, and then the BC guys will be in the conference tournament, and their games will be on the 23rd, which is going to be next Thursday.
Yep, next Thursday, and we already know it's going to be a Penn.
There you go.
Right? Like, I mean, there's no way out of eight, and there's no way Penn falls out of one, so 8-1, there you go.
We'll be back. Sports Look, segment four, up next. Welcome back to Sports Look as we dash into segment four. Gus, is there any big games that have gone on around the Carroll Listing area in the course of the last, oh, I don't know, week, 3, 4, 5 days? I don't know anything. Any games of note, really?
I was watching this badminton matchup the other night.
Pickleball!
Yeah, it's
in my house, we watch pickleball.
Okay, see?
It's painful, by the way. It's brutal. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, how about there was a game in Arizona the other day, and Kansas City Chiefs looked pretty good.
Yeah. It was good enough to get a parade out of it. Kansas City. But I tell you, did you ever think, was there a point in the game, and I know you're kind of a Chiefs fan, that you said, well, it was a good run, but I just don't think they can overcome this deficit?
Not with 15.
No!
Right? Like,
no.
I think that's what's crazy is you stop and you look at the games and, you know, the fan in you will always say, oh, my team isn't going to lose, right? But at the end of the day, you kind of look back and you're like, you got 15. And he's been great when it comes to the postseason. You know, he had a crazy record when games are double digit. When he's trailing by double digits. And so I think that, you know, he wasn't going to lose that game, and it's kind of crazy, right? I think back, and this is a funny thing I had the other day. I think back to your picture at Arrowhead Stadium, right, when we went there for the Benedict and Baker game, right?
Yeah.
And we've got a picture of St. Benedict next to the lone Lombardi Trophy.
Yes.
Okay? Looks a lot better, right?
Now the three?
Yeah, you think about the last 10 years or so of Kansas City sports. We had one Lombardi Trophy, one World Series trophy. Now you look back and you got two World Series trophies and three Lombardi trophies. All of a sudden, Kansas City moved from the bottom of the pack up to, you know, a top 10 franchise with those Lombardi trophies. And can I tell you, they keep talking about, like, they're not going anywhere, right? This was supposed to be an off year for Kansas City. You probably heard Brett Veach talking the other day on the Pat McAfee show. He's like, we've got a little money to play around with. And when you start breaking it down, the cap people have figured it out. Like, if you restructure Patrick's number, because they paid Patrick Mahomes his full amount this year, you can restructure that number around next year and end up with somewhere like $47 million of free money to play with in the offseason.
And so it's for the
Chiefs, good thing.
They are going to have a lot of first round.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's crazy, right?
And they're going to have it at home. They can sleep in their own bed when, you know, and they show back up the next day to make their second round picks.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy. So you've got 12 total picks this year. You're picking 32. I don't think you're picking 32 because I think you're moving up at some point, because I just think Beach is kind of crazy like that and likes to move up and likes to, you know, have fun with some of those picks. This team has been built with a lot of staying power, right? They're a young team. They've got a lot of pieces that might move on, but I think that foundation is still going to be there. And that's one of those things. How many times do you talk about this during a year? Okay. Enjoy the moment, right?
Yes, got to do it.
Because you got to understand that they are bringing back a lot of pieces next year, but it will never be this team. Okay. Like, there's a chance Frank Clark moves on. There's a chance maybe you trade a Chris Jones. Chad Henne is already announced his retirement after the game.
McColl is not going to be back.
Right.
Clyde, I don't think, is going to be back. I mean, you've got a lot of guys, names that you know that you're not going to see again.
You know, a guy like Andrew Wiley, who played great in the championship game, also probably earned a bag, right? Like, he is going to get a big stash of cash from somebody, and he should.
Yes.
And if I were him, I would go take it because I have two title rings, and now here's my chance to, you know, set my family up for life and generations to come.
Yes.
And you know, you got to tip your hat. But for Kansas City, I think when you look back at these two championship runs, the one player that is kind of crazy is Chad Henne, right? Like, he won that Browns game when you had to have it in the fourth quarter after Patrick went down. And then this year, Patrick has an ankle sprain. He does nothing but lead you 98 yards down the field, hit it, you know, score a touchdown, and, you know.
How big was that game in retrospect?
Forward. Oh, huge, right?
Huge!
And so I think it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of teams try to cheap on their backup quarterback, but that guy is very important when you have to call him, okay?
Yeah. Ask Chase Daniels.
And also, you're going to laugh at this. You had an all-pro punter this year, and you had a kicker that hit three-quarters of his kicks. You are not going to have that kicker back next year, right? Like, they're going to say, yeah, well, he hit the big kick in the big game. He hit three-quarters of his kicks. That is the third-worst percentage right now in the NFL this year. I also think your punter is some of the problem with that. So, Butker's going to get paid money. He just ain't going to get paid money here because I don't think you can afford to pay a kicker $3 million to be on this team.
But I love the Tommy Townsend videos where he's dancing.
Tommy's
he's
a
great.
Little over the top, right? Like,
he's great.
Like, put on your board shorts and your sandals. I'm kicking this one to the ocean, right?
He doesn't care. He just doesn't care.
Just a talker. But, yeah, it's one of those things that, though, when we talk about it, enjoy this team because, again, it'll be different.
Tommy's ring is the same one that Travis Kelce has.
Yep.
Okay? Yeah. Just remember that.
Yeah. And how about Melvin Gordon, right? He gets cut by the Broncos in the middle of the season after having to deal with all of that in Denver. And he gets to come over here, not activated for a single game. He was on the practice squad. He's still going to get the same ring as everybody else, right? Good for him. I think the one guy I really am happy for, too, is Carlos Dunlap. He's a guy who played a lot of years.
Dunlap.
He played a lot of years with the Bengals when they were really bad. And now he gets his ring, you know, at the end of his career. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs tried to bring him back on a little one-year deal. I also wouldn't be shocked if he said, cool, got my ring, thanks for all the memories, and he rides off in the sunset.
Well, but if you haven't gotten enough football as the NFL season concludes, there is now the emergence again of the XFL. And here we're going to have them getting underway here in, just a week or so, right?
Yeah,
or next week.
This weekend, right? Yeah, it's going to come up on Saturday. Sunday will be, you know, more games. You going to watch any of it? You going to tune it in?
I might.
I just have been into those leagues, right? Like, was it last year they had the USFL or something?
But now, I've got to tell you, better than some of the NFL, they've got some great mascots.
Mm-hmm.
There are only 8 teams in the XFL, by the way. The Arlington Renegades, they're going to be playing down at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. The DC Defenders, that is better than Guardians, but still on the same vein. The Houston Roughnecks and the Orlando Guardians. You've got the San Antonio Brahmas, the Seattle Sea Dragons, St. Louis Battlehawks, and the Vegas Vipers.
I like the Vegas Vipers.
Battlehawks is pretty good.
The Battlehawks. Sea Dragon is okay. And you knew they were going to go with a Brahma because, you know, Dwayne Johnson is somehow, you know, into this whole thing. So they're going to go with the whole Brahma.
So there's going to be some great merch.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But they're going to start on Saturday, the 18th. And we'll see how this all goes between these teams Saturday and Sunday. See, they're smart enough. Okay, we're going to spread it across the weekend. We'll have a couple of games Saturday, a couple of games Sunday.
Yep. We do a 2 o'clock and a 7:30, so you can catch both of them. Yeah. So, anyway, should be kind of interesting. I might tune in for a minute, but...
I didn't know the Alamo Dome was even still standing, to be real honest with you.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, I'm interested in some big basketball this weekend, right?
Okay. There is some big basketball. Kansas is going to be at home with another top 10 team, a team that is really good, Baylor.
Every team in the Big 12 feels like it's a top 10 team.
But
right?
The Big 12 is going to place, 8-9 teams in the tournament, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, you talk about Baylor. Number 9 Baylor will be at number 5 Kansas Saturday afternoon. That's a 3 o'clock tip-off. In Bramlage, at 1 o'clock, it will be number 19 Iowa State traveling to Kansas State. Kansas State kind of reeling a little bit here in the last couple weeks. I think they kind of hit that end-of-season wall a little bit. So a big matchup with Iowa State, who seems like they're peaking a little bit right now with a nice win over TCU last night. Monday, things don't get better for Kansas as they are going to be on the road traveling to Fort Worth as they're going to take on TCU, an 8 o'clock Monday night game.
Big Monday.
Yeah, and TCU, if you remember earlier this season, they went into Allen Fieldhouse and beat the Hawks pretty bad. But I will tell you, for Kansas, they are right now starting to figure some things out, put some pieces together. They've got now a post presence in Ernest Udeh. And is that weird? You're number 5 in the country, and you're just now starting to gel together and put some pieces together. So, should be interesting. And then Tuesday, Kansas State gets number 9 Baylor. At least it is another home game. That's Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Well, here's the thing. Suddenly, Kansas State has hit a little rough patch, as you mentioned. Suddenly, who's on top of the Big 12? Kansas again.
Isn't that how that always works, right? Like in somewhere around mid-January, everybody wants to bury Kansas and say, oh, well, look, they're not going to win the Big 12. And then somewhere after Valentine's Day, you look at the standings and they're back to the top.
Yeah, and although it's a little crowded at the top with Kansas, Baylor, Texas all at 9-4, and then Iowa State 8-5, and suddenly K-State has fallen from 1-5.
Yep, and like I said, for both these teams...
And still going to the national tournament.
Yeah, but for both these teams, it's not an easy road, right? Next two games for Kansas, Baylor and TCU. For Kansas State, Iowa State and Baylor, right? So, again, conference is beating up on each other.
And then, of course, we always like to talk the hot stove. We can use it on a snowy Thursday. But pitchers and catchers, They're not just getting ready to show up. They're there.
Yeah, pitchers and catchers reported yesterday to surprise Arizona. And for the Royals, they've had a history of not going to arbitration with players, right? Like, oh, you want this? Let's settle it out of arbitration. The Royals actually went to arbitration yesterday with Brady Singer, who was like probably their best pitcher last year, and won, right? He wanted 3.5, and they decided to give him 3. And so anyway, it's kind of crazy that maybe the Royals are changing things a little bit on how they, you know, approach their roster.
Well, we'll see how it all shakes out, but it's kind of fun now. You can start looking a little bit at the springtime. I know it's snowing outside, but it's spring's right here.
If you're the Royals and you're John Sherman, how excited are you that the Chiefs won the championship game and that the draft is in Kansas City?
Aren't you pretty thrilled?
Because all of a sudden, that's bought you a few months of nobody paying attention, right?
No focus on
like
you.
After the draft is over, everybody's going to look at the standings, see the Royals somewhere near the middle to the bottom of the, you know, of the Central Division, and say, oh, well, yeah, that's about right. But at least nobody's going to be going, oh, how are they doing? Why are they not doing this? Let's move, you know, it will be a little bit of a breather for the Royals this year.
Yeah, so somewhere around, what, Memorial Day before they start catching up with them?
Yeah, and what's crazy is, you know, then you only pay attention from Memorial Day to about mid-July, you know, when all of a sudden, okay, now how long before the Chiefs are back up in St. Joe, right? Like,
hey, how long before there's basketball on Care Radio should be the real question, and that would be tomorrow. As we're going to be high school hoops, the Atchison High Gym, it'll be the Phoenix and Labette County. Saturday afternoon, Benedictine at Culver Stockton. Ladies at 2, the guys at 4. Tuesday, ACCHS, JCN. Next Thursday, BC Men at William Penn. And I'm suggesting to you right now, we'll probably have Sports Hook next Wednesday because there are basketball games every other night as the postseason has arrived. I want to thank you for having joined us here this afternoon, or in this evening now. Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience are fantastic Sports Hook sponsors. Till we greet you next time for Gus Kautz, Tom Kautz saying so long, everybody.